Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every Sunday. I'll continue to say it. There is literally no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. Thank you so much for being here and doing exactly that. And listen, today is an exciting Sunday because it kicks off a very, very important week in our faith, and that is Passion Week. And today is Palm Sunday. And you may be wondering, if you grew up anything like I did, why in the world am I at church on Palm Sunday and we're not getting palms? Well, I'm going to explain it. I'm going to do my best today to try to explain it. But first, I want to help paint the picture for you a little bit and help explain to you what Palm Sunday was like for me before I met Jesus. And before I met Jesus, Palm Sunday was really something that was very simple. It was a religious act. It was a ritual. It was a tradition. It was something I grew up going to church on Palm Sunday. I was given a palm. I took that palm home. That palm was put on a curio, and I wasn't allowed to touch said palm for a year, until said palm was taken off said curio and replaced with another palm. And some of you are looking at me like, what in the world is a curio? A curio was the thing that held the Lazy Susan. And some of you are now looking at me like, what in the world is a Lazy Susan and why did you put her on a curio? Listen, just Google it. And if you know how to spell curio, let me know, because I have no idea. But Lazy Susans were pretty cool. I don't know what they call them now, but they were legit. And some of you are like, why? His wife's in the front row. Her name's Rachel, and she's not lazy. I'll leave it at that. One of the elders is sitting in the front row like, put it down. Put the shovel down, Nick. Yeah, we'll talk. I'm going to be in North Carolina, so. Yeah, send me an email. Yeah. Some people, Easter's just a fashion show. And the week leading up to it is just, what am I going to wear to Easter? Some people, it's just, how am I going to get all the stuff that I need for Easter brunch or dinner or lunch? Besides all the stuff I just mentioned, that's what it was for me as well. How are we going to get all the ingredients for Easter? And for me growing up, all the ingredients were really simple. It was green onions, salt, and the crunchiest loaf of Italian bread. And you're like, what in the world? That sounds like the weakest Easter brunch, lunch, dinner ever. It's because those were the fixings for the greatest lamb that you ever had. That's all you had it with. Green onions, a plate of salt, and Italian bread. That was it. We'll talk more about that a little bit later, but that's all Easter was to me growing up. It had nothing to do with Jesus. And I'm going to hopefully help change your week this week. Because Palm Sunday sets off our week leading up to Easter, leading up to the celebration of the fact that the tomb is empty and we get to celebrate the fact that we get to walk in the power of an empty tomb every single day of our life. Amen. Here on out. So, today we get to talk about that. We get to talk about the fact that this week I want you to do a lot of reading. I want you to read the different accounts of Passion Week, the different accounts of the last week of Jesus' life. So take a picture of where all the different accounts within the Gospels are located, because I want you to read these, because we can't read them all today. But in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all these accounts are given of Passion Week. You know, the last 3 years of Jesus' life, there's lots of accounts of the teachings and the preachings and the healings and the miraculous. We don't know much about the first 30 years. We don't know much about the first 30 years of his life. Our lives are the opposite of his. We have so much that we carry from the first years of our lives. So much written about us. So much that we carry from our past. So much that we carry from decades and decades and decades of our lives. But Jesus, we get to hear about these 3 years that changed everything for everyone. Passion Week. Kicking off with today, Sunday, Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry, which we're going to talk about more in a moment. But this Palm Sunday, what kicks off our whole entire week of him being led to the cross and ultimately the tomb being empty. Monday, Jesus cleanses the temple. There's a day of purity and cleansing. Tuesday, the teaching on Mount Olivet. This was a small group teaching time. There's lots of teaching going on. There's lots of what would you do the last week of your life? Wednesday, Jesus rested in Bethany while Judas agrees to betray him. So many things going on in the background of Jesus' life, but Jesus decided, I'm going to take a rest. Even Jesus took a nap. You know, we're called to follow him. We're called to follow his leading. So I'm giving you complete permission this week to say, listen, I'm going to follow Jesus and take a nap. Sometimes the best thing you could do for the kingdom is take a nap. Some of you, that was your first reason in church to shout amen. Let's practice it. It's okay. It's okay to be vocal in church. You don't need to worry about what people in front of you and beside you and behind you are thinking. If you hear something that speaks to you, let God know about it. Amen.
Amen.
Take a nap.
Amen.
Listen. Now don't say like, hey, not now. Listen, I'm not the greatest preacher. But you shouldn't fall asleep. And if you do, I'll make everybody scream, wake up. Thursday, the Last Supper. One of the most beautiful examples of servanthood. Jesus is about to give everything, and he washes the disciples' feet. We're called to follow his example, and he gives the example of getting ready to give everything, and he continues to give more. Awe-inspiring. the Garden of Gethsemane, his arrest. Friday, the crucifixion, the cross. He took on everything for us on Friday. We will gather together on Good Friday at our North Braddock location. And listen, this isn't a day where we send tons of invites and invite tons of people and broadcast it everywhere, because this is a day for the church. This is for us. For us to gather together to remember all that was given for you and for me. It's a solemn event. But it all hinges upon that day, knowing that 3 days later, death didn't win. Now, see, that was your opportunity to say amen louder than the take a nap moment. Death didn't win.
Amen.
See, if you would have fell asleep back there, you would have woke up. Yeah, I would have. Let's walk through what this means and what he did for us. The significance of the sacrifice that he gave for us. The significance of Palm Sunday. Matthew 21, 8 through 10. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" Listen, it was customary for people to pay homage to a king by laying their garments down before him, and in this case, there was palm branches being laid down. Only the most important people were greeted this way. Jesus was at the height of his popularity, and he was entering into Jerusalem in the week of Passover. Think of it as like the weekend of 4th of July. There were millions of people there gathered during this week. They were gathered there because it was Passover. It was the feast that remembered God's deliverance and protection. They were gathered there to celebrate. Enter Jesus. Jesus was about to represent everything to not only everyone there, but to all of us and everyone that ever will walk this earth. This was significant. All Jewish males had to be present in Jerusalem. They all needed to be there. God knew what he was doing. Jesus knew what he was doing. The pathway to the cross included these three aspects of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Knew that he needed to be sinless. He needed to be slaughtered for us. And once we experience a living God, once we experience the fact that he died on that cross for us and that that tomb is empty, we have nothing more than to share it. Once we experience how good he is, we have nothing more to do than to share it, to share him. We can't help it. John 1:29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, I want you to see who he is, and I want you to see everything that he offers. I want you to understand. I want you to take a look. Right before this statement, Jesus was water baptized. Well, we're going to have baptisms on April 27th, the week after Easter. Currently, right now, we have 17 baptisms scheduled here at the Red Oak Campus. It's exciting. It's exciting to know that 17 people here at White Oak are going to outwardly show what Jesus has done in their heart. They can't hold on to it anymore. They want the world to know that the Lamb of God has changed them. They're marked forever because of who he is, and they want everybody to know about it. When you experience something so good that changes you, you want everybody to know. And you actually can't hold back from sharing it. You can't. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Back to the big idea of today. The pathway to the cross includes these three aspects of Jesus. The Lamb of God was sinless, needed to be slaughtered, and once you experience him, you need to share it. The Passover lamb that Jesus became for all of us, he was sinless. Exodus 12, verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." It takes something clean to make something clean. Let me clarify that. If you ever heard me preach before, you know that I like audience participation. As a matter of fact, it's a requirement. So if I ask a question, I expect an answer. It's really simple. How many of you have ever done dishes before? During the first worship experience, only like 50% of the people raised their hands at first, which made me doubt whether or not I would ever want to eat at their house. Okay? And then I said that, and then everybody raised their hands. If you have done dishes before, do you use a dirty sponge or a dirty dish towel or a dirty utensil to clean dishes? No. If you do, you would not end up with clean dishes. Right? Right. Jesus is the only sinless person to ever walk this earth. The only spotless person to ever walk this earth. He needed to be to clean up our stuff. We try to get clean before we come to him. That's like cleaning your dishes before you put them in the dishwasher, which I know people that do that. But my dishwasher has like this attachment to it that like is like a garbage disposal for the dishwasher, so I don't even need to rinse them. So I could put them in there dirty, dirty. And if it doesn't work, I just call my plumber. And he comes and fixes it with me. Jesus will clean you up no matter how dirty you are, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're stuck in, because he's perfect, sinless and spotless, without sin or stain, unmarked. The significance of Palm Sunday is that the lamb that they were going to sacrifice, the lamb that was brought to the house for Passover, was so that they could celebrate. And it was significant. We now have the perfect lamb for eternity. This lamb that we see throughout Passover and now is represented in our lives as Jesus would have had to have been slaughtered. I spoke to you earlier about what Easter was for me growing up, and it was all about having to get the green onions and the salt and the Italian bread, and that was all because of the lamb that we were going to have. And it was from a wonderful place called Mezix. It was a Serbian butcher and smokehouse. And I remember going there so many times as a kid, and one time sticks out to me. It was a significant time. I was about 9 years old. Went with my dad to pick up our smoked lamb. And I remember getting out of the car. It was my dad's baby blue Pontiac 6000. It's back when the seatbelts like weren't even the shoulder ones. It was like the lap one. We didn't have the shoulder one until we got the maroon Bonneville. It was gangster. I loved that thing. But we got out of the car. We start walking up to Mezix, and I was 9, remember. And I instantly get handed a Coors Light at 9. And my dad looked at me and said, "Don't hand it back. Hold on to it. You'll offend them." You didn't want to offend the butcher. And I'm walking around as a 9-year-old with a Coors Light. And he's like, "Don't drink it. Just hold on to it. Don't offend them. We need to get a good lamb." And we walk around and we see, and it didn't just stick out to me because I was 9 and got handed a Coors Light. It stuck out to me because I saw what the lambs had to go through to be able to be enjoyed by so many and what they went through. And I know that for the next few minutes, it's about to get graphic. These lambs were between 14 and 18 pounds, and they were kept in pens and their eyes were covered so that their muscles wouldn't develop. Before they were slaughtered. Their eyes were covered because they didn't even want those muscles to develop. They didn't even want them to see. Exodus 12, verse 6, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, and when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. It's like, man, that's brutal. All for a lamb? Remember, Jesus is our lamb. He's our sacrifice. Isaiah 53, verse 7, he was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb being led to slaughter. This week is not about you preparing for brunch on Sunday or lunch or dinner. It's about you preparing to walk in the power of an empty tomb because of what he took on for you and for me. And for all 268 cards represented over there by the cross. Our God is not dead. He is fully alive. All because of this amazing sacrifice that he gave for all of us. Those yet to walk into his presence. The things that he endured for us. Verse 5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. His wounds, we are healed. By his whipping, we are healed. This beating that he took was so horrendous. Jesus took it all on his back. And we think, oh, he can't carry all my stuff. He can't carry all my shame. I got to get clean first before I go to him. I got to get right before I go to him. Or the classic Mon Valley one. The church will fall down if I walk in there. If this didn't crush the church, your stuff won't.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus took it all. They kicked him. They punched him. They even blindfolded him while they did it. The crown of thorns that he took on. You think you've had a bad migraine? Blood rushing down the center of his head. Pierced with all of our transgressions. Spikes in his hands and his feet, his wrists. He endured this for hours. It was methodical what they did to him. He had to push up on the spikes in his legs so that he could breathe, or else the weight would crush his lungs. While Jesus was on the cross, even the Romans couldn't watch. They had to take breaks. Whipped for our healing, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Thorns for our peace. Pierced for our transgressions, for our sins, so that we could be forgiven. Crushed for our iniquities, for our condition of our hearts. How you think, how you feel. Jesus took the spear for us. Good lamb. And that's why it's called Good Friday. You're like, wait a second, how is that good? Because he did it for you and for me and for all of us to have a way back to the Father. Because he knows how good it is for eternity to be in his presence. God wants us to be with him. It's good. I always wondered, how in the world can we describe such a horrible day as good? Because if you receive what he did for you, and you know that the tomb is empty now and death didn't win, it's good. So how do we truly make it good? We receive him. We receive what he did. We understand what he did. We understand that he paid a price and you were worth it. In his eyes, you were worth it. I was worth it. The people outside of these walls were worth it. Those 268 cards were worth it. Those people that you're praying for and believing for were worth it. Go read those cards as you're walking out today. The cards that say, I'm praying for my mom, my dad. The ones that are written in crayon. And then you'll be like, I need to share the lamb. I need to understand this sinless, spotless, slaughtered lamb. It's now time for me to share it. I can't hold back from sharing it. I've been talking about Mezek's lamb my whole life because it's so good. I'm sorry to any vegetarians in the room. Please forgive me. But it's delicious. It is. I'm sorry. Gabe, I'm sorry. I know you have lambs and all that stuff. I apologize. I love your lambs. They're great. Never want to have those lambs. But the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that was made for us, the fact that he gave his life for us, How dare us not want to share it? Exodus 12, verse 4, if a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. You're never going to have too much Jesus. You're never going to run out of Jesus. We're never going to run out of Jesus here. We're going to keep sharing him. We're going to keep going out and getting more and more people to experience him. Listen, that's why we're having four worship experiences here. That's why we're having eight across the entirety of Bridge City Church as a whole, because we want more and more people to experience the Lamb. Okay, go take a nap. Amen. Share more Jesus.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? Like, get comfortable with saying amen in church. Be loud. You're like, I'm quiet, I'm reserved. I've seen some of you yell at your kids. Well played, he said. You're required in this text to invite your neighbor to experience the consuming of the Lamb at your table. We are asking, if you have experienced the living God here, if you have experienced the gospel, the good news here, invite somebody to sit at the table. The worst that can happen is they can say no, but a seed's been planted in their life. And you have no idea when that seed might grow. No idea. And listen, that seed might get harvested somewhere else, and that's okay. It's all about the church. We are not rival gangs. I want people to experience Jesus. I don't care where they experience him at. You get what I'm saying? I want church to be overflowing next Sunday. The church. That means if you are a full Bible preaching church, I want you to be overflowing next Sunday with people that are ready to hear the gospel. But I'm believing even bigger than that. I'm believing for April 27th and the Sunday after that and the Sunday after that and the Sunday after that. I don't want a whole bunch of orphans to be created. Eight worship experiences across Bridge City Church. Go and invite. Luke 14, 23. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. Listen, the house is going to be full next week. Or this week, later on in the week. It's going to be full on Saturday and Sunday. We're having four. We'll have five. I'll stay here. We'll do six. I'll lead worship. I'll lip sync if I have to. I will. You might laugh. I am a musical young man. I am. You know I used to play the cello? Yeah, I played the cello. Here we go. The cello, the baritone saxophone, the alto saxophone, and my orchestra teacher cried when I quit playing the cello. She cried. Because all the football players made fun of me for playing the cello, and then I went to the winter orchestra concert, and all those knuckleheads were up on stage. I was like, what? Yeah. This is a long, long time ago. But yeah, I can't sing, but I can play some things. So next Sunday, maybe we'll be playing the cello for the 6 worship experience. I'll rosin up my bow. Did you start singing a song, Barbara?
Yeah.
The pastor went down to Georgia. Played his cello loud. All right, listen. Go and invite. Go get them. There's a banquet. Go get them. Go get everyone so they can have some lamb. And we're not going to sell out like International Village does. You know, International Village had Mezick's lamb. They stopped doing it. It was like up to $24 a pound. You had to go early to get it. They'd sell out. You'd have to go around the back of the one tent. I'm dead serious. You know what I'm talking about. You had to go around the back of the tent. They didn't even let, like, everyone know. They sold it out of, like, a big white cooler. Listen, I want to pray. I want to pray for this coming week. And I pray that as you embark upon this week, that your perspective of what this week looks like changed a little bit. That you took a picture of what Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday looks like. And I pray that the only thing you remember today isn't that Jesus took a nap on Wednesday. But remember, he took a nap while other people were trying to betray him. He didn't sweat the fact that people were going against him. Let's pray. Father God, I pray over each of our 8 Easter celebrations this week and our Good Friday remembrance time as well, Lord. God, I pray that every single person that is represented, every single family that is represented on those 268 cards at the cross, or that the seeds that have been planted in their life would grow, Lord. God, that they would be people that accept the invitation. Lord, I pray that as we embark upon the next 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Lord, that we would be fasting and praying and believing for those people on those cards. Lord, that as we embark upon 3 days of prayer and fasting, that we would truly abstain from what we believe sustains us in natural food, and we would rely on you who truly sustains us and gives us life. And we would do that on the behalf of those people on those cards. Lord, I pray for every single person that has extended an invitation for people to come and sit at the table. Lord, that we would all go beyond inviters and we would become bringers, Lord. And Lord, we would do whatever it takes to be a bringer. That we would provide rides, that we would provide means for rides, that we would do whatever it takes. Make us uncomfortable so that others could be comfortable for eternity. Lord, I pray that everyone that has a seat today wouldn't have a seat next week. And Lord, for those that might have felt uncomfortable that I just prayed that, thank you. Because I don't want a seat. And they may think, well, he has one on stage. Take it away, Lord. I don't want it. Lord, may we get comfortable with being uncomfortable for others. Lord, I pray that all of us would participate next week. Lord, that we would plan, whether it be on Saturday or on Sunday or all four, Lord. And God, may we not participate in Good Friday because it's not a home game. We are one church in four locations. Lord, I pray that we participate. May each and every one of us recognize that we are all greeters next week. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Lord, I thank you for who you are and who we get to be because of you. You know, earlier as I was going through what Jesus took on the cross for each and every one of us, that might have been the first time that you ever fully pictured what he took on. And Jesus may have been knocking on the door of your heart as I was speaking. Jesus may have been saying, don't wait until tomorrow to give your life to me. Don't wait until you feel like you're clean enough to allow me to get you cleaned up. Don't wait until you feel like you got it together to allow me to put you back together. Don't wait until you feel like you have enough control over your life to give me control. Don't try to control the way that you give your life to Jesus. Just as Jesus courageously gave his life on the cross for you and for me, I'm going to ask if you never received that gift of the forgiveness and the leadership into your future that cross provided, that today be your day that you do that, so that your week and your eternity can be fully different. And all it takes is a moment of repentance and acceptance of that forgiveness for him to be Lord for your eternity. And I'm going to ask you to courageously just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have that day. I don't have that time. I don't have that place where I received what you took on that cross for me. Anyone at all today?